This is the March 2026 GFA Internal Podcast, and I want to start with a brief announcement today about something we've been working on here in the home office that we hope will be a blessing and encouragement to you. Since last year, or even late 2024, we began working some on what we're calling a teamwork document. It's a discussion document really designed to promote harmonious relationships on the field. And you know, you've heard stories of all the issues that missionaries have faced in the past with conflict and challenges among workers on the field, and challenges that have resulted at times in the hindrance of the progress of the gospel and division on the field, and really issues that do detract from the testimony of Christ and the gospel. And so we have been burdened to work on something, to design something that would help GFA missionaries, but not just GFA missionaries, really pursue the kind of harmony and love among the brethren on the field that will really, by God's grace, help avoid some of those conflicts and some of those issues before they even crop up. So we worked throughout 2025 on really a list of questions for discussion among existing team members on the field and new team members that will be joining that group on the field. And we will be giving this document to all new GFA missionaries who are going to be joining missionaries that are already serving on the field, and really giving them a lengthy list of discussion points that they can talk through ahead of time, either over a video call or on a visit, a survey, just in person on the field. But the goal of these questions is not to get people to come to the same conclusion, the same exact position and practice in every conceivable area, but really it is an effort to bring to light the kinds of issues that sometimes have created these divisions and conflicts on the field. And really our desire, our prayer with this project has been to get things out in the open well ahead of time so things can be discussed, things can be brought to the table, and conclusions can be reached well before there is some sort of conflict live on the field. Of course, things are so much more challenging at that point. So our desire has been to identify the kinds of areas, both ministerially, practically, in families, personally, really that have in the past been the source of some kinds of conflict and division. Now, as I said, we will be giving this to new GFA missionaries who are joining existing teams on the field and really asking them to go through this document together with the existing missionaries on the field and the new missionaries discussing this together. But I do think it's something that would be useful in other contexts. There are existing GFA missionary teams in different places around the world. Some of you work with missionaries from other boards. Some of you have close relationships with national pastors and national leaders. And we want to make this available to you. There's no requirement to use this in those cases, but we do want to make it available to you in the hope that it would promote long-term harmony, the kind of unity on the field, the kind of loving relationships on the field that really do honor the Lord and provide for longevity and really promote the kind of testimony for the gospel, the testimony of Christ that we all long to have. So if that's something you would like to look at, and you can adapt it, you could use it really however you'd like. You can get to that on the missionary side of the GFA website. The March Field Memo will also have some instructions on where you can access that. I'm repeating myself, but I just want to point this out and just really emphasize it again. Our desire is to really enable GFA missionaries especially, but really anyone else that might be served by this, to avoid the kinds of issues that have created conflict and disunity in the past, and really help missionaries discuss these things and bring these issues to light well before they become a live conflict that would really detract from the work, and detract from the testimony of Christ on the field. So hope it'll be a help to you. I want to take a few minutes and address again the theme that we're wanting to emphasize this year on the internal podcast and in the family conference and in other ways that God gives to us, really to try to encourage you about a revived faith, a revived faith. This is our constant need for many, many reasons, but we do need our confidence in the Lord constantly awakened and stirred. We need to be delivered from pessimism. We need to be delivered from negative expectations and really have the kind of faith-filled, confident, expectant spirit that honors the Lord and truly believes that He is working and will continue to work. And we want throughout this year to encourage our own hearts, do like David did. We want to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God as we think through this theme of an awakened, a revived faith. And we want to do this for our own good, and we want to share some of these things with you with the hope in the Lord that it will encourage and strengthen your faith as well. I want to do something a little different today. I'm actually going to read the transcript of another podcast, and I'll try to do this with feeling, and it's not long, but I do, these are the words of someone else that were spoken, and so it's a little different, but I think this will be a blessing and help to you as it was to me. I want to read it because I identified so much with it, and it brought great conviction to me. I just saw myself in this story. This was told by R.C. Sproul, and it was shared a couple years ago on a podcast that replays recordings of Sproul's teaching from the decades of his ministry. And it actually was just replayed last week on this podcast called Ultimately with R.C. Sproul. And again, it was such a rebuke to me. I identified with it so closely. And as I thought about our theme of a revived faith, I thought it might be a good way to use this podcast to try to encourage you today. So these are Sproul's words, and the title of this podcast was Trust God's Promises, Not Your Passions. And here is what Sproul said. An experience I had years ago when I first began teaching back in 1965. I was a professor at a college, and on the weekends I would fill vacant pulpits. There was a church across the border in Ohio where the minister became terminally ill and could no longer preach. And so for several months, I preached in that church for his people. And I got a call on a Saturday night and said, "We just heard from the hospital, and it's likely that our pastor is not going to live through tomorrow." And I knew how much these people loved him and what a tremendous burden of pain and grief this was going to be upon them to learn of his imminent demise. The next day, we were scheduled to have the Lord's Supper. And how I prayed my heart out that Saturday night. I said, "Lord, these people need encouragement. They need a word from you that will lift them up from their despair, that their eyes may be upon you in the midst of this crisis." And the next day, when I got into the church, I tried to preach my heart out. And everybody in this room who's ever preached a sermon knows what it's like to lay an egg. You want to preach, and you're preaching, and nothing's working. I mean, it was horrible, one of the worst sermons I ever preached in my life. Then I led the congregation through the Lord's Supper, and I was overcome with a profound sense of the absence of God. It was awful, so that when I pronounced the benediction, instead of going back to the back of the church and greet people, I wanted to run out the door, find a hole to jump in, and hide. I was so embarrassed because I knew I let them down. And guess what happened? I've never had a response like this, where one person after another came out of that sanctuary thunderstruck. They grabbed my hand with both hands and said, "Thank you, Pastor. I've never known the presence of the Lord like I knew this morning." And one of them after another came out of there, and I'm thinking, were these people in the same service that I was? And I said to Vesta, that's Sproul's wife, on the way home, "I'm going to make a vow today, honey, and I'm going to stop being a sensual Christian. And from now on, I'm not going to trust in the presence of God based on what I feel, but on what He promises. He promises to be there. He promises to attend the preaching of the word that you give. Live by that. Those words from Sproul just, they arrested me a couple of years ago when I heard that recording for the first time. And again, last week that was released again. And I was again struck by the power of those words. And again, I saw my own need. I saw my own shortcomings. I identified so, so much with the experience that he shared on that podcast. We do so often live by our feelings. And I just love, it's striking, but I love that he uses this word sensual. We live by our sense of the presence of God. And he decided that day, after he saw evidence that God had worked, even when he felt, even when his sense was that God was not working, he made this vow that he was going to trust the promises of God, the promised presence of God, rather than trust in his own sense, his own feelings, his own emotions. And I think we've all been there. We've all experienced that. If you have shared the gospel with someone, you've spoken a word, you've taught, you've preached, you've done something for the Lord, and there's no palpable sense of something going on, and we feel sometimes that God is not working, and how we need to do what this recording, this transcript I just read to you encourages us to do. We live by the promises of God. We must believe the promises of God. And that is how God will awaken our faith. It is through his word. And I thought again about a journal entry by William Carey. I'm sure I've shared or read in the past. In fact, I know I shared this at the Matt retreat a couple years ago and included in a blog post on the GFA website recently as well. This journal entry that Carey wrote after he had been in India for 5.5 months. And he's talking about how all of the obstacles that he faced since determining to go to India, how all the obstacles that he had faced, and he lists many of them, really did threaten to choke out his hope, that his hope would die, those are his words, unless it were upheld by God. And then he lists all of these obstacles, all of these pressures. And then he continues in this journal entry with these words, "Well, I have God, and his word is sure. And although the superstitions of the heathen were a million times more deeply rooted, and the examples of Europeans a million times worse than they are, if I were deserted by all and persecuted by all, yet my hope fixed on that sure word will rise superior to all obstructions and triumph over all trials. God's cause will triumph, and I shall come out of all trials as gold purified by fire." Sproul points us to the promises of God, and Carey says it's the sure word of God that sustained his hope even among obstacles. And I think about this text in Romans 10 that is tied directly to our evangelism when we share the gospel with someone who is lost. This is Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. When we share the gospel with people, the Spirit of God uses his words as the means by which he gives life. And we ought to understand, this is true, we know this from the scripture as well, that the Spirit keeps right on using those same words to stir and stoke and sustain the faith of those who already believe. Our faith as believers in Christ, our ongoing confidence in God, our ongoing spirit of expectation, our confidence that the Lord will continue to work, our expectation that he is using and will continue to use us as his instruments as he does his work, as he builds his church. That faith comes from the words of God. And if we are going to have a revived faith, It will be as we go again and again and again and again to the words of Scripture. God will use his words to sustain our faith and increase our hope and actually awaken, revive our faith again and again. I'm recording this on a Tuesday. I was sharing just a couple days ago at a church up in Virginia this point about our expectant spirit and this core value of GFA, of being expectant. And it just popped into my mind the juxtaposition in Genesis 11 and 12, the Tower of Babel and the scattering of the peoples and the confusing of the languages, and how immediately after that is the genealogy of Abram, and then these promises of God to Abram that end with these words, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And that promise actually is so foundational to the rest of the Word of God, that God is working to bring blessing, spiritual blessing, through Abraham and his descendants to all the families of the earth. Or take a promise like Matthew 16, 18, "I will build my church," Jesus says. That's a firm promise. Or I'm going to read as well. This is a promise I've been meditating on. I've shared with a couple of young people or groups of young people recently in different contexts. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 28. This is just a wonderful, wonderful passage as well. 1 Corinthians 15, 24. "Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all." And those words have become, to me, in the last few months, so precious. God may be all in all. That is the inevitable, unstoppable end of all of history. God will be all in all. And wherever you are and wherever you're serving and whatever you are doing for the sake of Christ and the sake of his kingdom, you can do it with this expectation. There is a day coming when God will be all in all. That day is not yet here. We live in cultures, we minister among people that rebel against him and continue to go their own way. And they continue to die in their sins, in their rebellion. But there is a day coming when God will be all in all. And you can serve today with great faith, great expectation that that is going to take place someday. It is words like that and these other promises I've mentioned and myriads, myriads more in the Word of God that will sustain our faith, that will revive our faith. Like Carrie said, we don't want our hope to die, but we don't want to be sensual about it. We don't want to live with expectation only when our feelings are a certain way and things line up in a certain way. No, we go to the Word. We go to God's promises. We go to the assurances that Christ himself gives. And that is how God will revive our faith and sustain our faith and grow our faith and help us to minister with this joyful expectation that he will do as he has promised to do. And there is a day coming when God will be all in all. And we can minister with that expectation and let that truth, that promise sustain us even in the dark times when things don't feel the way that we wish they did. We have God's word on it, and God will use his own word to awaken our faith.